Here, I will present to the viewer the heart of this updated ethics repository. That is, if the powers to be of IEEE will give me access to material I do not have but need to, in order for as much of a complete history of IEEE's ethics history be presented, analyzed, and then preserved as may be both possible and openly provided. I begin with the initial events which happened over the period of 1997 through 1998. First, as of my writing of this audio text, the date of March 23, 2020, I had not received a single requested document. Therefore, I must rely on first and secondhand accounts, in this case, writings of Steve Unger, myself, and others, hopefully to report the known history. Let me refer you to Unger's papers titled The Assault on IEEE Ethics Support and The Case of the Vanishing Ethics Article, links to which are provided herein. What the situation in 1997-98 was involved with, that IEEE had established the Member Conduct Committee, then added a separate Ethics Committee, each with their own missions and authorities. They each then began to execute their respective missions. First, the Member Conduct Committee had been empowered to 1. Discipline members, 2. Provide ethics advice, 3. To provide ethical support where attempting to uphold the IEEE Code of Ethics placed one's employment in jeopardy. The Member Conduct Committee had its own website. The Member Conduct Committee Chair, Martha Sloan, a past woman IEEE president, even had a draft proposal for an ethics conflict resolution service, which I was the editor of for her, ready to be presented to the board, but wasn't, and why was never revealed. Secondly, the Ethics Committee had charge of the IEEE Code of Ethics. Members upon renewing IEEE membership had to agree to practice ethically. Bi-monthly Ethics Committee and Member Conduct Committee members published original articles in an ethics column. An ethics hotline was operated successfully with no incidents. A legal support fund was in the planning stages, and the Ethics Committee was by then forwarding ethical support cases on to the Member Conduct Committee. The Ethics Committee had its own website. Everything seemed to be progressing along fine with no known issues. Then, in 1998, at a Member Conduct Committee meeting chaired by Martha Sloan, former IEEE President Wally Reed stated openly, quote, "I do not feel the IEEE should get involved in employee-employer conflicts," unquote. I was present and heard that made. Already by then, as captured in Steve Unger's The Assault paper, the ex-com and board were beginning to take steps to terminate the Ethics Committee pro-ethics activities, leading to gutting them all, plus the removing of each Ethics Committee and Member Conduct Committee members who had advanced pro-ethics activities, which had prior board approvals. So now, what this repository needs to receive are the official board ex-com documents and policy decisions, which enacted those ethics reversals so the real history can be documented. Will we ever be provided with the truth? That is a TBD to be determined, it seems. Not so far. So read first and second-hand accounts provided herein and draw your own conclusions. What action is needed now is to be provided with the 3 approved policy decisions of the 1998 Board of Directors and/or the Executive Committee, which, 1, terminated the providing of ethics advice, ethical support, and the ethics hotline. 2, a final copy of the Special Task Force report, which recommended continuing operating the ethics hotline and the Ethics Committee. 3, the justification for denying ethics advice to individuals. And 4, the justification for preventing IEEE to get involved in employee-employer conflicts when they are of professional and/or ethical support matters. In closing, the IEEE members are entitled to know each of the 4 above. Thank you for listening.